welcome to this week's episode of the Maroon and White Pod. With us this week, we have Mairead Shoiga. Welcome, Mairead.
Thanks, Adele. Good to see you.
Good. Mairead, you wouldn't be any stranger to this microphone talking crack anyway. You were just mentioned, was it our radio on a Gaeltacha?
Yeah. Last weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're pretty up to speed with this stuff. This would be no bother to you.
Try it anyways. I suppose the teaching helps too.
Absolutely. Another bit of bad news for Galway. You retired this year.
Yes, I have, Shirley. I suppose, you know, I had 8 senior seasons put in with Galway and loved every minute of it. And I think, I suppose, just personally thought it was the right time. I wanted to be in a position where leaving the field, I could still kind of give to the club and also be fit and healthy to go forward in maybe other areas of my life as well. Yeah, I just thought it was a natural kind of progression as well with there was going to be a change in the setup and whatnot coming this year. So, yeah, that's kind of, it was a tough decision and I kind of toyed with it, but it was one that I was ready for when the new year kind of came in.
But you're still playing club?
Yes, I am, Shirley.
Very good. It's bad news for Galway, though, because they've just lost 2 of their more like experienced attackers. And I've you actually still saved my phone as goals. We all know what Tracy's capable of, but you were certainly always there, you know, getting in under the cover to bag a goal or two. That's going to be missed.
Yeah, I suppose I was very lucky. No more than one, people were always doing the hard work and then laying the ball off. And I suppose Stephen Glynn and Willie Ward, you know, they really... That was the job they kind of put me on to do. Let's say if I was coming on the field, I started out on the bench for a long time and coming on at the end of games, they'd be saying, go on now and try for a goal. You know, that's literally straight to it. And there might only be a couple of minutes left in the match.
And you did that.
He came up with the name goals. So that was kind of it. But to be fair, I suppose it happened in Croke Park in 2019. But the girls had done the hard work coming off the field. Olivia and then Louise popped me off a nice handy ball in front of goal. So yeah.
But it's still, there's skill in that, like finding that space or that pocket inside or knowing when to make the run. Like, and we're going to talk about it in a while, but the Cork game the last day, I think Kira McCarthy got a little bit of room for herself inside. But there is a bit of skill in that and it can be the winning and losing, especially... We only what we beaten by the last day, a couple of points.
Just a point.
Yeah. So that will be missed.
Yeah, like there are girls there that are coming on and coming through, like you said there about Kieran McCarthy or the likes of, you know, E4 work and all those girls that are coming through in the panel this year that will develop that for themselves, and they have the likes of Roisin there and Alva and that to kind of support them in that. So, you know, you have to hand it over, I suppose.
And it does come with a bit of experience too, like Roisin. As you get older in your career, you're not going to be scoring goals by winning the ball out in front. It is through finding those little bits of space in behind the cover. Again, just to touch on your retirement again, last year was a tough pill to swallow, that defeat, that last kick of the game. Had you made your mind up by that game that you were done, or did you make your mind up after that game?
I suppose it was something that I had thought about. I had an injury last year in my hip at the start of the year, which kind of set me back a bit at the beginning for the league. So I was 16 weeks rehabbing, basically had to completely deload and whatnot. And then I said that I was going to come back fully fit and ready to be eligible for selection, let's say, for championship or the latter end of the league. And I kind of knew, you know, Trace was... having the same thoughts. We were both at the same kind of stage being like, what's our story? Now Tracy has a lot more experience and years put in than I had, but I also am of the same age bracket. So I had an idea. It was my last game, so hanging off that jersey in Pearce Stadium was extremely tough. And it made it even harder because the management had done such a lovely thing for us. They actually had put up pictures of us as younger children in like Galway jerseys. With our jersey that day. So there was a picture of me with my godfather in my front hall, and I was teeny tiny with the old Tommy Varden jersey on, and then another selfie of my mom and dad in front of the Mayo flag that they got them to send in. So you're hanging it up, looking at that, and yeah, it was tough enough now.
Wow, that sounds very Fiona Wynnish. That's very sentimental. That's an emotional day now.
Yeah, to be fair to Fiona, she always thought of those things, and the likes of Kira as well in there. They would be no stone unturned, any Dell, and sure, I could go on with
the thought process. A lot of good people in there.
Yeah, my God.
Have you any regrets from your playing career? Now, you mentioned that you were, was it 8 years you'd done with the senior? That can be short in some.
Yeah.
You were late coming onto the scene. Can you talk about that? Why were you so late entering that panel?
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose I come from a place called Club Rack back in the Joyce Country. And you know yourself, it's a million miles away pretty much. Mm. But I was pretty busy as a child. I did a lot of Irish dancing. So would have competed at that at a high enough level for a long time. And I suppose, you know, travelling to and from trials and whatnot, I never went to a trial. I remember one time, I think I went to an under 16 trial maybe once in Annadown, and I went 1 week and didn't go back. Again, I think I was a bit overwhelmed by the amount of people and people knowing each other and that, and you know, coming from a small club and whatnot. But I always knew that it was possible because Lorna Joyce from our club is, you know, who we were always watching growing up and playing with her and whatnot. So yeah, then our club did really, really well in 2014. We got to an intermediate county Connacht and All-Ireland final, and we lost Castle Island in All-Ireland final. But I remember that year kind of, you know, you'd have people in your ear saying, geez, you should consider going in with county. And that winter, Willie Ward put up about trials on Facebook. And my sister was under 21. And I said, well, we go down to the trials, you know, might be nice off the back of, we played till December that year. And I remember driving down the road with Deirdre in the car in a Nissan Almera and coming over the bridge. It was a frosty morning, nearly crashed the car on ice getting to the trials. But we were getting there, and I suppose that was kind of it, only for they were put up and an opportunity to go. You know, I wouldn't have been there. Okay. And I kind of never looked back since. From that day, I was like, never thought about or dreaded going to training. And as you said, the time, even though it's 8 seasons, would have been in my 9th this year, that absolutely flew.
Mm.
Yeah, but I can't say I have any regrets during that time. I would have loved maybe to have played more as an underage player.
Yeah.
Maybe to have had needed less time to kind of develop as a senior player.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say it's a regret.
And have you any regrets like throughout the course of your experience with the senior team? I know I was thinking there, even because when I was compiling the questions, like one of them was about like this regret question. And I wonder, I don't know, sometimes you think you take it too seriously and you forget to enjoy it. And like, there's a lot going on between your own performance and those around you and management and everything. It can be quite overwhelming. And sometimes I wish that I didn't take it so seriously.
Maybe took a little step back.
Yeah.
And just played.
Yeah. And now I know, like, I really jumped into the world of S&C and stuff like that. And I wouldn't have touched a weight up until, I'd say, midway through my county career.
Yeah.
You probably would have got a lot more, maybe, of that. But on that kind of front, was there any...
Yeah, I suppose I'd be a bit like you in that sense. I feel like we go all in or not at all kind of thing. And I do try to give 100% to whatever I go at. And it's one of my biggest assets, but it's also a downfall of mine because I'm very particular about how I go about things or having things a certain way or to a certain standard. And maybe to an extent, I suppose, kind of having stepped back, I can see how important it is to kind of take that step back. And I think last year there was actually a lovely... balance of that within the setup and within the panel, and the culture was kind of that. You worked when you worked, and then when we had our time, we really had our time, which was lovely. So
the older you get, the more serious it gets anyway, because obviously the older you get, life gets more serious. But when you think of the under, when I think of, and even yourself with club, under 12, under 14, under 16, when you know it just happened.
Yeah.
And then I know the minute like I went onto the senior panel, it just like you nearly froze. I got a bit of stage fright or something like that. It becomes more of a mental thing the older you get, because obviously we just start overthinking it and that.
And I think when you start to develop like a certain, not name or, you know, play a certain way or in a certain position, people might expect that of you.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting it of yourself. Whereas before it started to just happen, you never thought about the process. Whereas then I suppose as you had this kind of name for a certain job, you mm-hmm. thought about the job a bit too much. Yeah. And that affected definitely my play sometimes. Yeah.
I definitely would agree with that. Overanalyzing stuff mm-hmm. sometimes when, yeah. you know, you can't just all go out, or like 15, just go out and play whatever way you want yeah. to play. Obviously, there has to be, you know, a bit of a balance there. What's your best memory with the senior team? When you think again of one day that you could just click back to? Or moment?
It has to be. There's a few very good ones, but I suppose winning the first Connacht title that I won with Galway was my second year in the setup down in McHale Park, and the sun was shining, and it was my first win, big win with the Galway team. And I remember everyone around me saying, enjoy it, like you have a Connacht medal in your pocket. And the day was so enjoyable, the game was so enjoyable. We had come from a loss from the year before in the Connacht final, and always in years prior to that, maybe I was just completely biased, and looking back at rose tinted glasses prior to that, I thought Galway, always saw Galway as win. And then our first year in the setup, we suffered a defeat in the Connacht final, and it was a tough enough one. And then the following year to come back and to get that, you know, to get that title back and to be fully involved in it, I felt like every bit of it. And I even look back on pictures of that day and I see nothing but happiness, like right through, you know.
Mm. Those games against Mayo, though, do stick, like they do yeah. last in the memory. Like you could beat Tyrone or Donegal or whatever, but those Mayo ones, like even again, we're talking to Roisin the last day and we said that like that game was going to just take on it. It didn't matter what.
What it was for.
It didn't matter. Yeah. Those games just take on a little world of their own. So yeah, I'm not surprised that it is a Mayo game that's sticking out there. And you are still playing with club?
Yes. Yeah.
Where are you, senior?
No, we had a bit of an unfortunate year last year. Yeah, we didn't have any management. We were a small club. We're suffering a bit at the minute with like girls being away and, you know,
yeah,
whatnot, just general the way it kind of goes. So we're actually gone down to junior for wow. the coming year. Yeah, so it's tough enough, but we did really well to even, you know, have the team together and play all our games and everything last year, which is a massive win for the club, because that's not something you want to fall apart, or, you know, we want to be there. And like that club has been phenomenal, like all my memories with those girls, like yeah. they become your family, you know. And
it wasn't too long ago when you were competing at a, you know, yeah. it's these like, things change quick,
very quick. And that's why I would say to anyone listening or anyone playing as a younger player, really enjoy those days, because no more than I know Roisin was saying last week on the pod, when they had their years of succession, she never thought that they would end, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't think that they would end, or you don't think the nights out after them and whatnot, those days that you make those memories, you think that they're just going to keep happening. They may not,
yeah.
you know, and you have to really cherish them, because otherwise you'd be looking back saying, why didn't I?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like we have enjoyed them, but yeah, this year is junior now, yeah. so we'll see.
Is this your first year junior? Or did you just
first year ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on there to an experience that you had that not many of us have had, but your experience down under. You went to Australia for a season.
Yes. So
tell us about that. What year was that?
2019, just off the back of our year that we got to the All-Ireland.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was a pretty good year. Like in my memory, that's like a really good year, both like personally and in terms of teams, you know. So we had a great season with Galway. Played in Crow Park twice, in a semi and a final. It was brilliant. And that year I got picked up to go over to Melbourne to play with North Melbourne. So headed off in October of 2019 for pre-season. We were over there. It was amazing, unbelievable. Like the facilities were unbelievable. The just everything was class. It was a whole new experience. I was living with some of the Irish girls as well. I was playing with Aileen Gilroy. We were enemies on the field a couple of months prior.
Buddies over there.
Now
then.
We're the best friends. Like I met up with her yesterday in Ashford Castle. You know, it's the maddest thing, like, to think. But it was, my God, some experience. And at the time, the competition was in its infancy, so it wouldn't have been the same in terms of pay and whatnot. It was just kind of the girls' game was getting pretty much, they were finding their feet in terms of funding and development, but it was still considered semi-professional at the time, but girls also worked part-time, let's say, while they were over there. But when we were on a contract, it was a sports visa, so your job was to play.
Okay, and professional. It
was pretty cool, yeah. Right.
You said in October, when does that season run?
So it's all changed now. They go, their pre-season has now changed to May, and then they'll play for a 10-week season after. But we were October, and then games started end of January and then played right through to May, but they've flipped it now so that they're not playing in the summer months because it was, yeah, pretty intense.
Okay. Is it possible to juggle both? Like, can you, you could have come back. Did you play when you came back then in
20?
Yeah.
So COVID happened. The competition finished just before finals. We had progressed to finals, but we all had to go because our sports visas would have been invalid. We didn't know what the story was in terms of when the lockdown would lift. Okay. We were just told, the Irish government were basically saying to everyone to get home. So got home in April of 2020 and was straight into like home workouts for Galway. You know, was keeping in the change. Loop with them all. It was mad, yeah. We'd like literally doing runs, you know, over and back your front yard nearly and working out on the footpath. And yeah, it was mad, but something so different. It's, yeah. I just can't believe it. It was so bizarre.
Extremes.
Just, yeah. And I felt like we never really, even when I got back from Australia, I didn't get to see anyone for so long. So I never really got to chat to anyone about it. Or by the time I saw them, we were into season.
It was, you know, that a kind of bit of a totally, distant memory, yeah.
Yeah. So,
what were your highlights from that trip?
From Australia, playing down in Tasmania. We had a home game. We had a camp down in Tasmania. So we had a home game down there. And I actually had taken part in a like campaign for Mazda with them. And in the journey, I was talking about back home, but it came on the big screen in Tasmania, like middle of the game. And we were in like our home grounds. This was on the big screen and hearing it. And to think, you know, home coming up, I just couldn't believe it. Do you know, that's very cool. Kind of surreal.
Yeah.
And then I suppose just traveling with the girls, it was like, you know, you'd travel here on game day, you'd go, you might get something on the way. Whereas like we'd travel all together the night before, we'd be going into the business lounge and just having proper, you know, the food and just the whole experience.
The money was there.
The money was there. And the one thing I would say, they were so surprised with what level we were at in terms of our football and the exposure we had had to like video analysis, to huddle, to like the coaching that we had. They couldn't get over how we could understand the structures and the, you know, they thought we'd be coming over so green.
Yeah.
But we really weren't, you know.
And that's down to those that are involved pushing for those higher standards, like Fiona and Manus.
Absolutely. And the likes of like Mike Comer and Stephen Glennon and Tim Rabbit and who raised those standards, you know, and
Would you go again?
To Australia to play
to play.
I wouldn't say no to it.
Because
I
it sounds like it could fit in here somewhere now. You're retired and you can take maybe a career break or something like this, no?
Well, that would be an option. It's not like it's not something I'm looking for at the minute. Maybe a career break might be on the cards, but to head over again, but I'll just see where the road takes me. I'm not in talks or anything with anyone at the minute, that's not
you're not advertising it.
No.
What would you say to anybody considering going that is a little bit, you know, a little bit apprehensive about it, I suppose, leaving here, will Galway do it the year I'm gone or whatever? You left the year after Galway got to an All-Ireland, like that's a big call, because you'd think that, okay, we didn't make it this year, but we might make it next year. Like, how, or what would you say to somebody that's in that position? Like,
so I suppose for me, it was a little bit different because I had signed my contract prior to the competition, the championship starting here. So I had my contract signed at the end of April, I think. So we were just out of the league. Now, we had been in the league final, so I knew this year was going well for us, you know. But what I would say to anyone is 100% to go. And if it's on your mind, go. Because you don't want to look back and say, what if?
Yes.
And as you said earlier, the time is so short and you blink. And like, I thought at that time that I might have been going again when I first went. They'd been like, this could be something that's happening for a few years, which it has been for girls. But for me, it hasn't. And just with the way everything worked out. So I would be like, go for it. Even if it's only a season, go and try it and look at the exposure. And like, it's a way to see the world. It's a way to meet new people. It's a way to upskill in so many areas of your life, not just in the actual game.
Is it still as professional as it was when you were out there in the line of time, like, or do you have to work now?
No, it's gone like they've increased the pay in terms of the lowest tier. There's been a 90% increase for the women's sport, so you're full-time professional now. If you're over there.
Good.
Like, I was even chatting to Aileen Gilroy there yesterday. She's now with Hawthorne and she's contracted for the year, whereas when we were contracted for the season. So now if you're over there, you're contracted for the year, which means you wouldn't be playing like football and that outside of it. Whereas there was a time where you could play. Come home for your summer and play football championship here. So I suppose that's a bit more of a consideration for girls. But if you're young enough, I 100% feel like go.
You were poached, like you were hunted. But how does one get on the radar if she ain't hunted?
So I think now, obviously, Irish girls are being sought after because the way they've succeeded in all the teams over there, you know, we've put a good name for ourselves out over there and shown the adaptability and the versatility of how football can transfer to that elite setup. So I think it is a matter of just maybe reach out to some of the Irish girls and see what the story is with agents and things like that at the minute. When I went over, I was very fortunate. There was an agency called Crosscoders who were actually coming over looking for Irish girls, and they were like they were having camps over here and whatnot, and they actually reached out and were like, can I just give your name to X, Y, and Z? So I'm pretty sure there are still agents doing that now. I know they're not still set up, but there are people like them who are there. So I would say get onto, there's almost an Irish girl, if not more, in every club over there. Just ask them who's the right person to reach out to. And if you have an interest, they'll just ask you to send on footage and maybe then host a meeting. If that goes well, then you might have to go for like testing, like fitness and health screening. Yeah.
Very good. Good to know that. That's an interesting little synopsis there on that whole experience, because for the likes of me that has never done it, like, I'm totally green to it. Yeah. Don't know how it runs at all. So thanks for that little insight. We just come back again, so to the current setup, the current Galway setup in 2024. Very new look, like, team there. A lot of inexperienced players, but again, as we mentioned in previous podcasts, that's what the league really is about. They played Cork there last weekend, or the weekend before, and they were unlucky. It's good performance and tough conditions. Mayo last weekend could have come away with the points there. You were watching that game. What did you think?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I was so impressed in so many regards, because as you said, like, such a new setup in terms of from the bottom up, from the top down, however you want to look at it. It's a whole new face for Galway, you know, and it's definitely a sign of like what's to come. I thought for this time of the year, like, the panel seemed pretty fit and everything. I know the girls, I'm still like chatting to them, and they're training hard, yeah. You know. Disappointed for them that they didn't come away with the win, because obviously second round of the league, playing Mayo, you know, you always want that game for us. And also, like, they could have had the win there, you know, they really, and they might look back and be like, we should have taken that win. But at the end of the day, it is only the league, and it is for trying it out and seeing what works, what doesn't work. And I suppose they'll have a look at themselves and see how they can set themselves up maybe a little differently for coming into Armagh this weekend.
Yes. Armagh again are going to be a completely different challenge, and they've already defeated Waterford and Cork so far in the league. So they have two wins from two, whereas Galway have two losses. So the pressure, there is a little bit of pressure on Galway for to try to not only put in a performance in Armagh on Sunday, but to try to bag some points here. Your thoughts on Armagh?
I'm very impressed with where they're at. I think that they're going out to kind of prove a point at the minute. You know, their win last weekend, if you didn't know much about them, you'd think going down to Cork, second round of the league, not long, you know, playing this year, you'd think they might do it. And like, they won very, you know, comprehensively, like, they came away with a good win.
Yeah.
And they look very solid, and like, they're out to do business. So like, it is a task to go up to Armagh now this weekend and try and come off the back of two defeats, and Armagh are kind of on a winning streak at the minute. Not saying it's impossible. The league, sure, you could have one game one weekend and it could be a totally different outfit than the next weekend because of the panels being tried and tested, and, you know, trying to play differently one weekend, or, you know, see what structures work best for teams. But no, I'm pretty impressed with them and what they have up front. Like, I mean, there's a lot of precision, so they'll be out to put scores on the board.
And Greg McGonagall, who is a name well known in ladies football circles, he was over the Dublin ladies for a few years and the Monaghan ladies. He now has just brought Armagh up to the top flight this year. So they came from Division 2 last year. So they have a little bit of a pep in their step. Surprised to see such a great, like, the Caroline O'Hanlon is still playing with Armagh.
I actually can't believe that. That's phenomenal. Like, that is some going, just from having played, and I'm sure you would say the same yourself, to play and have that longevity as a player in Division 1 senior football is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd hazard, I guess, that Greg had a little bit to do with that.
Yeah. Pulling the strings.
And you mentioned there about their threats up front. They have a serious, like, based on the reports in the first two games, they have a serious full forward line. Like, we all know the name Amy Mackin. They've Kelly Mallon up there and another Kenny girl, but they are really delivering on the scoring front. So our full back line are going to have to try to nullify that as much as possible, and obviously get some cover from the half back line and midfield or the wing forwards as well.
Yeah, they'll want to set up and, like, try and, you know, do a bit of damage limitation at the start of the game, and then see can they then progress the game on their own terms. But they're going to have to try and get a hold on that first and not let it become a problem too early in the game. If Galway want to play their own game too, they'll have to set up against them, try and defend, and then go for it.
Yeah. They scored a goal in the first. It was a penalty, Armagh against Cork. So they'll strike early on. They're not afraid to attack. They've their half back line as well. They've Oisín McConville's nieces in the half back line there, maybe number six. She's a threat coming forward as well. So it really is going to be a battle. But, you know, sometimes when you're when the win is unexpected, you can pull it out of the bag. So look, they've nothing to lose. They're going up to Armagh, and again, they're improving with every game. Galway have improved since the Cork game. They could have beaten Mayo the last day, so it is there for the taking.
Yeah, for sure. No, I was very impressed with them against Mayo, I have to say. So I do think they should go up there and give it absolutely everything, and just because, as you said, they've nothing to lose now. They're coming off the back of two losses. You want to get that winning streak going, and they'll need it come the latter stages of the league. So I'd say just give it.
They've Armagh away on February the 4th, and then they're Dublin away on February the 18th. They've Meath at home, and then their last game there, from what I can see from the fixtures, is Waterford. Then their next three games, they're going to have to go for it. Inexperienced or experienced, they're going to have to go for it.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there that you have been impressed with to date on the Galway team, like girls starting out really this year, are trying to nail down a spot?
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of girls who are trying to nail down a spot, and I know Roisin kind of alluded to it last week. You know, with there being positions up for grabs this year, like there's a lot of positions at the minute and early stages. But definitely, I know you were saying about Aoife O'Rourke, she definitely stands out to me, because I know her, I know what she's about, I know what she can do, and I know that this is really good for her. And I thought last weekend she really showed that she wants this jersey, and people are going to have to do everything to take it off her, you know. So I'd love to see how she kind of progresses and molds into the league as it goes on.
Yeah, I'm delighted you agree with me on that, because I thought I was being biased, because Aoife would be from the same club as myself, June Corthoon, but I really thought that any ball that went into her, she was out in front, she was able to win it.
Yeah.
She was using her strength. There was a ball there. I thought it was going out over the inline. She managed to hold it in. And just her free taking as well. I mean, Roisin came on and took over with some of the frees. But Aoife definitely got a tighter grip on that jersey last weekend. Anything that you think they can... I don't know if I've mentioned this already. It's a question maybe you're trying to avoid. Anything that you think they can improve on now going into the Armagh game? And I start off here... because I know it's probably a bit too early for you. You've only finished up with the team, and you don't want to be critical, really, because you're only out of it. But I did think that they could do it, letting the ball in a bit sooner. And maybe, as you mentioned before we came on, that, like, that's just a forwards biased angle. It's probably taking a solo or two when they should be looking up, letting it in.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think now is the time to try that as well. I mean, there's no point changing your mind in mid-championship and saying, oh, we'll try that now, you know, letting the ball in. And I know there are forwards in there crying out for the ball, you know, who would love it in first time. Take the steps and just have a go. What, you know, there's nothing to lose if the right person, like if Roisin picks up that ball in the right spot, all she has to do is take a half kick and she's it over there. Yeah. You know what I mean? She knows what she wants when it goes in there the right way. But it's going to take a bit of, I suppose, at the minute... That's the downfall, and probably the reason they're not is because they aren't playing together that long. So there are some girls there, obviously new to Spain, so girls probably are kind of half hesitant. Do they make that run? Do they make that call? Do we kick it in to them? Where do they prefer to have it? You know, so it is tricky, but I think it is important for them to start trying.
Yeah, and again, taking all the chances they can get, because Amy Mackin won't need two chances, nor will Kelly Mallon and these guys up front. So if Galway do get those opportunities like they got the last day,
they're
going to have at them. do a great show on it and put it in the net.
Go for it.
Yeah, that really brings us to the end of that, Mairead. Thanks a million for joining us today. It was great to chat to you. You've had some career put in fairness, and I think if it was anyone else looking back in their career, having, you know, got to that All-Ireland in Croke Park, got those Connacht medals and done a stint in Australia, they'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And I would say if you have thinking about going for your county, go for it.
Yeah. Mairead, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right.